Reading week is finally over. I'm sure you've all been counting the minutes. More pencils, more books, more late nights in the library, more midterms, more essays. Welcome back. Today on the show, we're taking a look at both the importance of and the difficulties of shopping local on a student budget. And just for fun, we're going to have a little chat about pumpkin desserts. Hello, Laurier. This is the Chordcast. Textbook costs as high as they are and tuition fees constantly rising, chances are you do most of your shopping through big brand sellers. A lot of the time it probably feels like you don't have much of a choice because that's about all that you can afford. Whether it's beer, groceries, or books, or anything else, it gets harder and harder to support the little guy all the time. But what are the benefits of shopping local? Is it something we should be making more of an effort to do? This week I sat down with three members of our editorial board to talk about that. But before we begin, I just wanted to make a quick disclaimer that the opinions expressed on this program are those of the individual speaking, and do not necessarily reflect the intentions of the content or the opinions of any other member of the Chord staff. This program was recorded on October 15th, 2017. Thanks for listening. Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to the first episode of the Chordcast post-reading week. We're all excited to be here. We've actually got a whole crew in the studio here joining me today. So who have we got here?
I'm Cheyenne MacDonald, the Arts and Life Editor.
I'm Michael Oliveri, and I'm the Senior Copy Editor.
I'm Jake Watts, News Editor.
And I am Carlos Wild, Features Editor and host of this program. So just to begin here with a little bit of an icebreaker, what did you do that was fun over Reading Week? Cheyenne, tell me about that.
The new season of Voltron came out, so I watched that, and it was the highlight of my week.
Awesome.
Slash life.
I watched Deepwater Horizon with Mark Wahlberg, and it was absolutely terrible, and that was probably the highlight of my reading week.
Awesome. And Jake?
I went and saw Peach Pit. It's a band.
Okay.
They're pretty good.
Nice. And honestly, like, my highlight of reading week was watching television, too, so I'm glad everyone's on the same page in this room, and we are ready to move forward with the best podcast ever. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, awesome. All right, so obviously we took a week off from the newspaper, from everything. But we're back in full force. We got a new issue coming out on Wednesday. And, Cheyenne, what's coming up in this week's issue?
I'm writing about the Witch Fest that was hosted in Toronto. So I'm just looking into the culture of Wicca and how it's changed over the years.
Awesome. Michael, what have you seen in the issue?
Creative director Madeline McInnes is writing on Pink's new album called Beautiful Trauma and her review of it.
Nice. And Jake?
The chief of police actually just announced that he's kind of fed up with all the student partying around the university, so they're taking measures to reduce those parties.
Yeah, no, I got you.
I also wrote the story, so.
Nice, that should be awesome.
Shameless plug, yeah.
And I took a look at local beer this week, which is cool too, because I think that drinking local is important. I think that buying local is important. Do you guys do anything to keep your dollars within the community? Do you guys make any initiative towards that?
I think that's a great idea if you have money.
Yeah.
If you don't have money, that's not something you're thinking about, or it's not even on your priorities.
I get it. I think that it's a lot more difficult to do when you don't have a lot of money, right? But if you're doing all your grocery shopping at Walmart, that means that all the dollars that you're spending are going to some giant faceless corporation, right? Whereas if you go to the farmer's market, well, you said you went to the farmer's market this weekend, right?
I did, and I went to go buy really old books. I got a book from 1913, actually. I was really excited.
What book was that?
It was about palm reading.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. Do you guys, any thoughts? Any thoughts on farmer's markets?
It seems like it's more than just about having enough money to buy the more expensive produce, for example. It also comes down to, like, let's say you're a student and you live right by campus and you don't have a car. How are you going to make it out to the farmer's market? And especially, how are you going to haul all the stuff you buy back to your tiny like one bedroom, right? So yeah, it's not only the money to pay for the more expensive groceries, it's also having like all those other kind of like luxury items that would put you in a position to get them in the first place.
Right, I kind of get that because I was at the farmer's market this past weekend and I was looking at cheap vegetables that all came in these enormous quantities and my fridge can fit like 8 apples. Like, that's it. I have the smallest fridge. It's awful. Michael, any thoughts?
I mean, I try to when I can, and like I think everything what you guys have been saying, it is an expensive kind of thing. Yeah, I think it's a good thing to do, but just sometimes it's just not practical or it's just not easily available because personally, like, you know, you have to trying to buy everything and then bringing that box back somehow is just, it's impossible sometimes. So
right.
It's a good thing to do, but it's not always easy.
Do you guys make any specific efforts?
Sometimes the motivation will hit me, and then
sorry, I feel like I'm putting you all on the spot here. Come on, spend all your dollars locally. Come on.
You know, again, it's like it's one of those aspirational things. But when you're stressed out from school and you got deadlines coming up and you just need to eat something, you know, putting in that extra effort and the time, especially to go out to a farmer's market, is really it's out of the question in some circumstances.
I get it. Yeah,
I feel bad because like, when I was younger, we did actually have a produce store where we'd take things we grew from our farm and we'd sell them to our community, but that closed. We lost the store once, like, the recession hit, and so, like, since then, we haven't shopped locally or even sold our own vegetables locally, so, like, I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of bitter.
Well, but that's the whole thing that I think needs to be recognized is that on a personal level, it is very difficult to shop locally, and part of the reason why that is because we don't. Because if we keep going and continuing to shop at Walmart, which everybody has done, then they don't have to pay their employees as much. Their profits stay high, and the little guy who has to charge more just to survive is going to have to charge even more just to survive, right? Like, it's a problem that feeds itself. So it's not something that we can really... That's the problem. I mean, how bad can we feel about it if it's not something that we can even do, right?
I'll bring like kind of a personal thing into this. I'm from Cambridge, and so the Galt Cambridge Farmers Market isn't too far away from me, and it's awesome when I can go there if I'm home on weekends or something. Going on a Saturday morning when they're open, it's nice, and getting the cheeses are my particular favorite. No. But it's really nice too. But I completely agree what you're saying is if you keep doing what you're doing and you're not buying locally, as I personally do, then it becomes harder in the long term as well. So I completely agree.
Yeah, I don't think we should be condemning one another for shopping in the grocery stores or at Walmart because there's only so much of a choice that we have, right? But I think it's an important thing to be conscious of and to be conscious of how our money goes into the economy and how we could be creating better communities through our purchases.
I think it's also like if it appeals to you. So you mentioned like going on the weekends and everything, and I was telling Jake and Michael earlier, I like just went grocery shopping for the first time before I came here. And, like, thank you. thank you. I'm an adult. And, like, it was at Loblaws. It wasn't anywhere special. But, like, it's not something I would get up on a Saturday morning to go do. That's not interesting to me.
You know, I also, well, contrary to that, like, the times I have gone to farmers markets, it's been a great experience.
Yeah.
Like, all those local vendors and the community atmosphere is something you just don't get from going to places like Walmart. So, yeah, that's something I kind of think we're all missing by taking the easy route.
And we are coming back at you with some questions, with some good times. Let's talk about pumpkins. Everybody's thinking about pumpkins, so let's talk about pumpkins. Cheyenne, tell us about the article in the latest issue about pumpkins.
Well, it's the Court Picks, which I never actually introduced the Court Picks, but it's just where everyone from our little court community goes and writes about their favorite thing of the week. So this week it's pumpkin recipes, and yourself, you're writing about ice
cream. We don't want to spoil what the actual things in the issue are. So don't worry about that. Everybody listening, you got to go pick up the issue. You got to go read the article or check it out online. It's gonna be dope.
It's just about pumpkin recipes.
Yeah.
Intriguing.
Yeah, pumpkin recipes. If you're excited about pumpkin, which everybody is, then check that out. But let's talk about the weirdest pumpkin foods we've eaten, okay? I'm gonna kick us off with something that I saw at the grocery store this past weekend that just blew me away. And it was pumpkin spice cheese, okay? I don't know what kind of cheese it was. It was soft. It was... Well, no, I know, right? It sounds so weird, but it was... They were sampling it there, thankfully, so I didn't have to spend $7 on a brick of pumpkin spice
Wait,
cheese.
Is that the one that comes from pumpkin spice cows?
That's right. Yeah, that's where they get the milk for the lattes,
yeah,
too. Yeah.
I hear those are endangered.
Yeah.
But it was better than it sounds, okay? And that doesn't really sound great, but... like I was saying to you guys earlier, doesn't that open up a whole world of pumpkin opportunities? You can make pumpkin spice pizza. You can make pumpkin spice mac and cheese, anything like that. So, Cheyenne, something cool pumpkin you've had lately. Go.
Nothing. I actually don't eat a lot of pumpkin flavored things.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. Pumpkin shaped cookies, though.
Pumpkin shaped, but not flavored?
No.
Sounds like a missed opportunity.
I was just going to say, why not make them pumpkin?
I don't like the taste of pumpkins.
Well,
Believe it or not, to be fair,
pumpkin spice doesn't really taste like pumpkins. It tastes like...
No, like even pumpkin pie. I find that repulsive.
Oh.
So did you bake pumpkin-shaped cookies that didn't taste like pumpkin?
I never baked it. I bought it from Second Cup.
Just to be clear, these don't have any pumpkin flavoring, right?
No.
I'm about the aesthetics, not the taste.
Life.
The aesthetics only.
Michael, something pumpkin, something actually pumpkin-y.
I'm not a heretic like Shy, but I haven't had anything weird pumpkin related recently. But over reading week, I just had, you know, the classic standard pumpkin pie, and I don't think you can beat that. Pumpkin pie is one. I'm not a pumpkin fanatic, but pumpkin pie I do love. That is one of my favorite desserts. But that's I think it's where I stay. It's usually pumpkin pie.
I don't really. That's safe.
Yeah.
That's safe. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Carlos, you mentioned that the pumpkin spice blizzard from Dairy Queen is really good.
Yeah,
I've been meaning to try that.
That may or may not be in the issue. Don't want to spoil anything.
But other than that, I'm a pumpkin pie guy as well. I love it. I bought a pumpkin pie this past week, and I ate the whole thing myself in a few days.
An entire, like a large pie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I went to my grandma's house for Thanksgiving, and she... You know, I'm not her kid, so she just keeps feeding me, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I love the pumpkin pie, and she just kept giving me more and more and more. I ate so much on the drive back home, like my parents had to pull over to a gas station, and I vomited.
Wow.
Yeah, it was...
That's a real love of pumpkin.
Yeah, I love pumpkin pie.
Do you have it with whipped cream?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, when I can. Sometimes you don't have whipped cream.
You don't always have it. So I'm on the same page.
Yeah, I'm not going to not
eat. There's a lot of occasions where you have pumpkin pie but no whipped cream.
Yeah, I'm not going to not eat my pumpkin pie because I don't have whipped cream, you know?
Yeah.
Also, ice cream is good. Anything with sugar, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheyenne, so what is your Thanksgiving dessert?
Oh, no.
Do you make blueberry pies that look like pumpkin pies?
Okay. I don't like pie unless it's a meat pie, first of all. But what did I have for dessert even on Thanksgiving? Oh, I had a cheesecake. My cousin Brianna made a cheesecake, and it's delicious.
It's good. That's a good choice. Yeah.
Just plain. No added pumpkin.
Thanks, guys. All right, and we are already on to the last section of the podcast, which is something good. Section, we all list off something good from the past week, or in this case 2 weeks, because I guess it's been a while since we had our last episode, that we kind of like to remember something to keep with us. So in the last couple of weeks, the best thing is I got really hooked on a podcast called Lore, which is also a television show now, which is creepy stories that are based on the truth. This guy's going over the history, and a lot of it's inspired, like, supernatural fiction or myths that people really believe in and stuff like that. And that was adapted into a television show this week by Amazon Prime. So Amazon, if you are listening to this, the Cordcast television rights are still available if you'd like to purchase those and turn this into a series. But Jake, something good from the last week.
I saw Blade Runner 2049.
Okay.
It was excellent. I was a big fan of the original one. And the sequel didn't disappoint. I'm a big fan of the director, Villeneuve.
Yeah.
I knew his last name. I just didn't want to mess up the pronunciation.
That's fine.
He's a Quebecer, fellow Canadian.
Yeah.
he just knocked it out of the park. It was a great movie.
And just to be clear, that is not a consensus within within this office here. When I came in, one of our team members upstairs was talking about how it was basically the worst movie ever. So,
well, one of our team members is wrong.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm kidding. But really, like,
yeah. All right, Michael, something good.
Over the last week, I got hooked on Riverdale. Thanks to Maddie, we stayed up late and we watched the first four episodes in the first season, and then I proceeded to binge the first season over the next two or three days. It was a good time, got really hooked on it, and then now, of course, the second season, the first episode is out on Netflix now, and that was a crazy time, so that has been something good, something dramatic to watch.
Nice, yeah, I watched that too, and apparently they recast Reggie on that show, Reggie Mantle.
Oh, really? I honestly didn't know. Apparently they recast him.
He was in the real... not real actor. The original actor was in 13 Reasons Why, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I think that's why he left this show, because they're doing another season of that or something. I don't know. Riverdale's more important. 13 Reasons Why didn't vibe with me. Cheyenne, tell us about something good.
My friend Julie, she turned 22 this weekend, so all my friends got together, and we just spent the weekend doing random stuff. We went to Toronto, we went to the farmer's market, and then we went to Phil's, which wasn't fun, but that was a great thing, just having everyone together again.
That's good. That's awesome. And I'm glad, I guess, you all enjoyed your reading week then, I hope.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
You're all excited to get back to it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
That did not sound sincere.
Question?
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're coming to the end of the program now. So to all of you listening, I'd like to say thank you from all of us. And I'd like to thank the three of you for coming on the show today. You were great. We had some fun. And we're looking forward to getting back to it. And if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, shoot me an email at features@thecord.ca. And thanks for listening. And have a great rest of your semester.
Quick thank you to everyone at Wolusip, especially all the staff and volunteers at The Cord, for making this program possible. Our music was provided by Steve Dave for Life.